Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
Hi, I'm Elise Tran, and welcome to Dinner for Two, presented by Pop Sugar Australia.
There is so much to talk about with Vera and Cartier, the founders of the quietly successful activewear brand Nimble. However, today I did want to focus on their relationship as co-founders of a brand and business and any advice they can give on finding people to work on a business from external contractors, team members, and managing their relationship as co-founders. I think it's always nice to be able to share the burden of growing a business with a co-founder. I've done that several times and I do love it. And Vera and Cartier's relationship, from what I can see when we're all sitting together in the mornings, is just so gorgeous. So I just wanted to highlight that. Thanks so much for coming in today, Cartier and Vera. It's so nice to sort of see you outside of shelter where we spin together and in this context. So thank you so much for taking the time.
You're very welcome.
So I know I've seen you guys around, you know, I've seen you in the media, I've seen you on Instagram, I see you in real life, and I know you've been friends since you were teens, but can you tell me a bit more about how you decided to start working together rather than just being gal pals?
We never intended to start a business together. I think that's what's interesting. People often ask, oh, did you guys always decide to have a business together? You know, Cartier and I met when we were in year eight, so we've been best friends since we were 14, and we pursued quite different career paths. I went down a real corporate route, and Cartier went down on this glamorous path of fashion, working at, you know, Burberry over in London. And we got together in Sydney. I was living in Sydney for work, and Cartier came back to Sydney while she was sorting out her Italian passport to go back to Burberry. And she came to Sydney, and the two of us really connected through moving together. And that's where the idea for the business started, really. So we were meeting each other, going to classes together. And from there, it was when the whole world was a sea of Lululemon. And for us as consumers, we love the product. It's great product, but it was lacking this aesthetic element that we were looking for. We were looking for garments that performed, but also played into that, you know, fashion aesthetic that you could really team with your other pieces. So it was at that point that we were, you know, naively thinking, well, we should give it a shot. And it was really from there. It was like one conversation with a person, another conversation with a person, and then slowly this little idea bubbled into, you know, this real life business, I guess.
It made it also easy because we were living together at the time. So, you know, it was a very, you know, tight working relationship and friendship as well. But it just allowed us to move, like we moved super quickly as well. Before we knew it, we were like, you know, building a website, speaking with a branding agency, buying inventory. And so, yeah, it just formulated quite quickly.
Cartier, how would you describe your relationship? Is it a bit like a marriage or?
Definitely. I think Vera and I have a very close relationship, and I think there's been challenges along the way for us as well. We've been best friends from such a young age, but then to also start a business together, I think you really learn what your relationship needs to become. Like in a way, it is a bit different from a friendship. I think like a marriage or like a partnership, communication is so critical, because otherwise you let things brew and fester and you need to be on the same page with a lot of, you know, business decisions as well, so you don't really clash heads. But yeah, it's really similar to a marriage or a partnership. Like you're involved in each other's lives on a daily basis. Like, you know, we see each other at work. When we get home from work, we still call each other when we're on emails at night. Once we put the kids to bed, we're socializing together in like a friendship scene as well. So yeah, you really do need strong foundations to make that relationship work.
And so in terms of just speaking of that, like foundations, as you say, so open comms, what else would you say are some attributes of building kind of a friend business relationship?
you need to share the same vision, like the same business vision. Anything from like, are we both going to put in money together? Are we going to go raise external money? How much? How we want to grow the business? You really do need to be aligned with those views. And if you're not, to be able to have a conversation around, to both be like comfortable with how you're going to act and do business and where you actually see it going as well. But I think just it really comes back to the communication's critical. And, you know, we haven't always gotten it right. And when we have clashed heads a bit, it was definitely more in the early days where you just either assume things or you just let things build up as well. So, you know, it's come with its own challenges and journey of us being in business together for, gosh, nearly 8 years now as well. But, you know, there's been moments where you can become a little bit tense with one another, but I would say like it's definitely gotten a lot stronger and better as we've progressed as well.
It's funny because I look at some of the business mentors that we've brought in to guide us, and in some ways it's like marriage counseling. I mean, I haven't been to marriage counseling, but we've learnt how to really listen. It's kind of funny because we've known each other since we were 14. There's so much assumed, oh, I know what Katia's saying. I just know because I know her, but I'm not actually listening to her. So a lot of like the work that we've been doing with our mentors, yes, it's business coaching, but it's like it's been coaching the two of us. How do we lean into our strengths and how do we lean into the other person for where they're strong? So like a marriage, our business mentors are in some ways like our marriage counselors.
Yeah, that's so true. And we've realized we're also really different as well, especially in our skill set. And I think that's probably a good thing because it allows us to both have lanes, but then kind of like lead the business together. We've learned a lot of things from whether you call it like mentorship or this like, you know, counseling type thing, but how we work best together as well. Mm.
That really resonates with me because, you know, Brooke, the co-founder of In the Roundhouse, she and I have known each other since year 8 as well. And I think it's been public that I had like a difficult time in my previous business with my co-founder there. And, you know, this stuff is really resonating. You know, the communication piece and stuff is so true and being on the same page. So in saying that, Vera, how do you guys set goals and stuff together? Do you, you know, once a quarter or once a year kind of set some goals for the business or for you personally? And talk me through how you do that.
It's been a journey of us working through it. I think the last couple of years we both had mat leaves and we were both trying to step in and we lost a bit of that. We really did. And one of, you know, we do a number of different things. Cardi and I have a 2-hour window every week that it's our weekly connect. So we table the big things we want to talk about there. We get each other's opinions there. And then on a quarterly basis and on an annual basis, we do set goals together, but we almost do them separately. And this is part of this whole mentorship program, the rhythm it's gotten us in. We reflect on where we've been the last quarter, you know, our highlights, our lowlights, and our focuses moving forward. And we do that separately. And then we come together. And when we come together, it's not just me reading mine out. It's me reading mine out and then Katia playing back to me what she's heard and then vice versa. And by doing that, we're actually aligned, you know, we're making sure that Katia's heard me, I've heard Katia, and then we go forward. So it's certainly something we are getting better and better at. And that is because we've put these like little rhythms in place to allow us to make sure we're fully aligned.
And on goals as well, it can be back to like, you know, hitting certain budgets and things like that. But we always really on goals measure being better than last year, whether that's, you know, revenue, new customer growth, whatever we're doing, and setting that foundation also with the team. It's like, how did we comp to last year? If we weren't better, then why? Or if we really exceeded, like, how did we do that and why? And really trying to leverage off that as well, but always about being better than last year.
I get that too. You know, you want to see like a progression on a graph going up and up. So, and whatever metric that is, I'm sure for everyone, you can like pull out something. Could be anything from Instagram followers to sales or whatever. It sounds like, you know, you've got good systems and things in place and, you know, the whole that you've discussed mentorship and things. But has there ever been a time where, you know, you have had a deadlock on a decision? So it might be like, oh, I really want to open a store in Perth or something, and the other person doesn't want to do it, that, you know, it's too far.
We can have different views of how to approach different things, but fundamentally the big business decisions, and especially when there's big capital outlay, we get aligned at the end and we're both in agreement to do it. But Vera, I don't know, does something come to mind for you?
Even a product? It's like someone thinks these tights look awesome and the other person's like, no way, we're never going to sell those.
I guess it's like being in our lanes, and I don't know whether what you and Brooke are like, whether you've got different things. You're like, you know, Elise is good at this and therefore you'll defer. Say with that question you said about tights.
Yeah, so Brooke really leans on me for that kind of that creative product aspect. And sometimes I'm like, you know what, a lot of the patterns and things within the Roundhouse I draw myself, and I'm like, I think I'm biased because I drew it myself and I think it looks sick. So that's why I need you to tell me that actually that it looks like a kid's drawn it. This is not okay.
But it sounds like you've got that balance too. And for us, it's learning, okay, yes, Cardi is like the you. Cardi has got the creative eye. She knows that, but she values my opinion and my perspective. So that's all I can offer her. It's like a perspective that's different because you're more removed. And then it's Cardi's call at the end of the day with the help of the team, but it's not my strong suit. It's not my place. I don't have that eye. So probably similar to you and Brooke, it's like you need Brooke's perspective to tell you if it looks like a kid's drawing, which seeing all the in the Roundhouse, nothing looks like a kid's drawing. It's all beautiful, but it's just that perspective and then knowing, hey, this is your strong suit and I'll let you make the final call.
What have been the best moments you've had together over the last 8 years?
Fashion Week was pretty cool. It's something that I would have never thought we'd ever be a part of. You know, I'm your corporate lawyer, corporate banker. Never did I think that that would be, I'd even go to a show, let alone show in one. So that was cool.
I have to say, was maybe opening our first store. That was a really big, exciting moment for our brand, especially because we were still operating out of our living room at the time and our warehouse was our hallway, and we opened up our Bondi Beach store. So I think that was a really pivotal moment for our brand as well. And that's where we really started gaining traction as well, getting a lot more runs on the board, really growing online and digital too. So I think that was a really highlight moment.
It is. It's a good store. It's been the same location this whole period
yes.
of time, right? Yeah, no, it's great. Love the relationship between you two. You guys have been working on it for a number of years. You've brought in mentors to sort of help you develop it, the marriage counseling aspect to it. And then, you know, obviously when you're running a business, it's you guys are the powerhouse. You drive the business forward. You probably run most aspects of the business from, you know, a GM, finance, whatever, you know, point of view and all of the things. But, you know, there are obviously areas where you might not be as strong as, say, someone else in the world. How do you choose who to bring into the business to help run it with you, from like PR or an external accountant? Vera, how have you sort of gone about selecting the right third-party partners?
We've learned along the way that it's to sit back and look at what actually do we need them to deliver on. You know, we've certainly been in the past not clear enough ourselves, and therefore we're not setting up that partner for success. And I think it's running a competitive pitch process, making sure that if this isn't an area that Cardi and I are strong in, it's really important to see a few different people or a few different firms in that space and understand what they do. You know, I certainly know that when it's something I don't know about and someone tells you all about it, you're like, oh my God, you know so much. But you need to benchmark that. So that's a process that we've learned on, and we're trying to enforce that with a little bit more rigor in our business and across the team. You know, when we're looking to bring on a new partner, we need at least 3 points of comparison. So it's a pitching process and it's to see who there is out there. And then once you're in the relationship, it's just to make sure you don't sit in it. I think so often you find a partner and it's easy and you just sit in it and you both become like the butter on each other's bread. You know, you don't try that hard anymore. It's kind of like with friendships and with, you know, all of that, you just like get comfortable. And it's just making sure that you evaluate, you know, every 6 months or every year, and you make sure, hey, is this still the right fit? Are you serving us? Are we serving you? And if we're not, being okay to say, okay, it's not working for us, let's move on and let's reassess. Are we doing that perfectly? No. But, like, are we now aware that it's something that we need to be disciplined about?
If only we could have conversations with third-party service providers like Australia Post, is this working for me? You know, but in some cases you have no choice.
you're limited with choice there. But I was just going to say, it all comes back to accountability as well. I think that pitching process we've learned is really important, and making sure we've got more than one, giving people a brief to work to and seeing how that they think about it and deliver on it. But it's like, once you've got this external support on board, it's like, okay, well, what do we want to achieve in the next 3 to 6 months? What do they also want to achieve? And keeping people accountable to that, because you've mutually agreed on, you know, where we could drive results. And yeah, it all comes back to accountability, because we're investing in that area to see performance lift. So yeah, as Vera said, sometimes you do just have to pull things quite quickly when they're not working and move on.
Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
How do you decide from a function point of view whether to hire someone in-house for a role versus working with an external provider?
It just really depends on... In-house might be like one full-time role, but what could that salary give me in terms of an agency where we've got access to multiple arms and people, and they're also getting access to, you know, other clients and insights as well. So it just really depends on, for, you know, what your budget is, what could in-house get us, how many bums on seats is that, or is that just one skill set? But, you know, are we better off with an agency who, you know, they've got teams built out a lot more than what you could as well, and they're experts in that area as well. We've got permanent hires, but some of our team are offshore as well. Doesn't always have to be in Australia. We work with contractors, we work with like agencies as well, we work with like, you know, permanent staff. It just really depends on what we're trying to get out of it and for what budget as well.
Yeah, it does come down to budget skills. I don't know how you guys have found it, but there's a skill shortage in particular areas. There's a real lack of people in Australia with particular skills. And when you can't hire those people yourselves, you have to find external agencies or bigger firms that have them and work with them. And then it's like, would you rather someone more senior or someone more junior, more full-time? I think it's hard. It's hard to get the balance right, to be honest.
So when you're hiring them into the Nimble team, because, you know, you've got a very attractive business that I'm sure a lot of young women and men would love to come and work with, what type of candidates are you looking for? It sounds like, you know, it would be good to be a jack of all trades almost in your business. Or, you know, what attracts you to hiring someone in and inviting them into your world?
Early days, yes, you did have to be a bit of a jack of all trades in our business. Even Vera and I were, but, you know, we have grown this business to really structure it so people do have lanes. It's really hard to get to know someone off just like one interview. There's always an element of project work as well when we're interviewing someone. So giving them a task, seeing how they like relate to the task, how they think about it, what they send back as well. But yeah, like interviewing can be tough as well, because you spend such a short time with someone and you're really trying to get to know them and their skill sets and are they the right fit for our business. Culture is also a really important one. So, you know, Nimble has particular values that whoever we hire, we want people to live and breathe our culture as well. So we're always looking at skill set and at culture too, and making sure that's balanced.
What would you say is the culture of Nimble? Like, I think I could kind of guess it from, you know, the visual output that you create, but like for those who don't know, how would you describe it?
you know, it's all about teamwork here. We're all on the same bus trying to drive the same goal collectively together. So it's not about you just achieving particular things. We're all doing it together. You know, an entrepreneurial spirit, even as much as they are working in a certain area, you know, they're still willing to help out others if needed. We are a brand about movement as well. So people that are passionate about the space, you know, you don't need to go running each morning, but you are passionate about health and wellness and movement in itself too.
Okay, so someone gets through the process, let's say they've interviewed with you, they've done a little bit of project work, so they're in the team. Who do they report to?
It depends. So we essentially...
Is there good cop, bad cop?
Yeah. And one of the things, again, communication, the two of us need to work out, because it can be really noisy if you've got me saying one thing and then Katia piping up with another thing. And that's something the two of us are really conscious of. But if you are in marketing or digital or finance, you report to me. And if you're in product or retail or wholesale, you report to Katia. So that's how we split it.
What if I'm just trying to think of a role that you, what if I'm in customer service? Who do I report to?
That sits under digital.
Okay, yeah.
At the moment, but it's a good question, because you go, well, does customer service sit under both digital and retail, because they're all our customers? Do we at some point need to have a customer service person? Where do they sit? It's a great question, Elise, and we don't have an answer yet.
See that? No, it's good to be, you know, I think, for anyone listening, it's like, it's not like anyone has everything all planned. Like, you have this, you've got some kind of rigor around what you're doing, but of course there's always gray to it as well.
Yeah, and within our org chart as well, we've got managers and heads of certain departments. So, you know, people report into managers and that all ladders up to Vera and I as well. So all of our employees just don't direct report into us.
I spoke to Julie Bishop about this. She really emphasized how important kind of giving your time as a leader to each team member. And we just said just then, you know, not everyone reports directly into you, and no one expects that, because you can't be like, otherwise you'd just be texting and calling people all day and not being able to do your work. What do you think makes a successful team, and how do you kind of give your time to everyone in your business in a way that's economic and works for them and you to kind of further the goals of the business? Vera, do you want to kick that one off?
Both Cardi and I have weekly one-on-ones in our calendar with our direct reports. In those one-on-ones, we have a really set agenda. So it's the same agenda that we follow each week. It's about a bit of a reflection on the last week. What's on your mind? You know, that's always a question, because it's one of those things that unless you give the space for someone to share what's on their mind, and then we look forward to the priorities. So we have a set agenda that our team, our direct reports always know is on in the calendar weekly, and they're expected to prepare for that. So that makes sure that we're being as useful as we can to them. And then we have team whips. So we've got, you know, whole of business trade meetings where we're all in the meeting, and then we've got your team whips. And then we're in the office, so it's really important for the two of us to have those conversations in the office with people that might not directly report into us, and that we are having a chat. You know, I can be really bad at having lunch at my desk all the time, but every now and then it's important to go and sit on the couch and have a chat and just talk to the guys. So it's a bit of a mix. It's like we've got formal things in place to make sure that we are connecting with our team, and then just the informal bits as well.
And the team whips allow us to connect with everyone, because why all of product, I have like two direct reports in product, but the product team's like a team of six. With me having a weekly team whip with product, I'm connecting with the whole team.
Yes, sometimes I get very lazy, like the one-on-one thing. This is just prompting me, and I'm like, oh my God, no, I don't even do that properly sometimes. So that's very inspiring. And then the whips. Do you think that that's what else you do to motivate your team? Because I think, yes, these conversations keep people very aligned with where everything is going and what needs to be done. But what do you think drives people who are in your team to take your business to the next level?
You need to know when to celebrate as well. Acknowledging wins, even when we're doing like weekly trade, there's improvements that need to be focused on. Just acknowledging what we did well, and like, is that an area where we can turbocharge? I think it's really important to celebrate wins. You know, we're a team that motivate each other. So like, you know, each quarter we do like team sweats together. We might do like an annual, you know, strategy day where we get out of the office as well. But I think it's important to celebrate wins, even if they are small.
I agree, because I think sometimes when you're just going through the thick of it and like we're almost halfway through the year and it's like, how has this happened? And, you know, each year I feel like as we get older as well, because it's your birthday today, Vera, you know, it just goes so quickly and you're right, like sometimes not acknowledging the small things, just people in the team just don't know where they are and they're just floating around. So I think that's a really good call. Okay, so if you were going to make 5 new hires in the next 6 months, who would they be? Like, what is the future of the Nimble team and how does it sort of change? I don't want to freak anyone out.
Oh, gosh.
But if you could just go on a hiring spree, let's say there was like a government mandate, you get to hire 5 people in the next election, you know, into your business, you must hire 5 people. Who would that be?
It's a tough question. I mean, Katie and I, this is probably going to be our weekly connects for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Build out customer care a little bit more, and there are some more focuses we want to do more around like live chat and digitally serving her. So definitely a focus around the customer care team. There'd also be a focus around more our garment technicians, size and fit and QA. We've got that in place with our offshore teams as well, but building that out, especially because we are expanding size ranges. There's also, you know, more that we want to be doing in terms of like in-market testing, product testing, gathering feedback, and just continuously always making our product better because we are made to perform as well. I would say there's probably more in the social and marketing space where we would add hires to.
I need a TikTok girl.
Yes. where would your hires be?
Okay, if I just got 5 for free. Customer service as well. Like I think we've gone through such a rapid period of change, as you know, with physical retail, and you guys are very lucky with where you've chosen your store locations. In a sense, they've probably been unaffected, right?
Well, we've still been like the lockdowns affected the team because we've had store closures. Yeah.
Yeah. Post lockdown, but
we're not in the CBD.
Yeah. You're not in the CBD. You're in like lifestyle kind of precincts, which is great. You know, for me, it would be potentially doing retail in a more kind of lifestyle way, like inspired by you guys. So a TikTok social media person, you know, a retail person. I probably need a logistics expert, like having been through, you know, I'm sure anyone who's listening to this who has a small business, right? Like the cost of shipping has done, you know, like we all know it's gone up, but like I don't really understand what's happening to it. And, you know, even just sorting through bills and surcharges and stuff, that would be amazing. Ooh, and I get to, there's so many. I mean, like then I'm like, would I get a PA? Like, oh, it's so lucky. And maybe like another developer or something to like just, you know, build crazy things that,
you know,
you guys probably think of them too. You have all these ideas and actually kind of having the resources and time to execute them is, you know, difficult.
Yeah, I'd take a developer. I think a data scientist.
Yeah.
I would love like a fellow Excel nerd.
Yeah, to work out the shipping
data,
issue.
Data. Yes, and just to really, you know, in this day and age, it's like we know so much about our customers, or we should.
Mm.
And fundamentally, Nimble exists to service our customer. Mm. So what can we do to get to know her better? And, yeah, they can take on logistics as well.
Yeah, they can take that. Obviously, like front of mind for me today, I must have just been served like a big bill or something.
I would love to know what's next for In the Roundhouse.
I guess what's next for me is I'm actually working on a couple of new brands. So, and that has been really difficult because at the moment I'm working part-time for LTK Australia, which I've pitched to you before, the influencer marketing platform. So it's like I've got 3 jobs on the go. So within the Roundhouse, I'd really like to, as you guys say, I mean, it's very early days in the Australian market. I'd just like to punch that out a bit more and do potentially 1 physical store location, just because, you know, I've listened to some of your other podcasts and you're right, there are a lot of customers, and I saw this at the Daily Editor too, who want to experience the brand before even shopping online. So I'd love to do that. But yeah, and, you know, just fun things. Like I've got a skill set that, you know, I was kind of wanting to sort of step away from it a bit, but personalization, right, is kind of something that weirdly I have, I'm able to scale. So it's something that, you know, we'll be rolling out with in the Roundhouse, which I think will be very exciting from a consumer perspective and very challenging from an operational perspective again. So yeah, just some fun things like that.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I think you just have to lean into what you're good at and just be like, yep, I'm just going to...
Totally. That's definitely what we've discovered on this call. It's like there are marketing digital spreadsheets and Katia is all the creative. So no, that's really good. That's really good to know. Thanks so much, guys, for taking the time to speak to me today and the fact that you had to go into separate rooms and I had to split you up. I'm very grateful for doing that. Enjoy the rest of your day and thank you again.
Thanks, Elise. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. We'll see you at Spin.
Thanks so much for joining us for Dinner for Two. I'm Elise Tran.